Thank you, Brother Tony. It's been a privilege to spend the day with Brother Tony. Tremendous man of God. I know you already know that. But I just really enjoy being with him, fellowshipping with him. And it's wonderful to be back in this place tonight and see all of you here. I appreciate you being here. I want to recognize one age group tonight, and this age group just amazes me, first of all, that as many of them that are here tonight, that is just overwhelming to me that they would come out and hear an old preacher from Kentucky. I'd like for everybody under the age of 18 to stand. Under the age of 18, please stand. Isn't that a marvelous looking group? Got some up in the balcony. Let's give them a round of applause. You can sit down. That really wasn't a very good applause, I'm going to be honest with you. If one of them had hit a grand slam, or if one of them had just made a touchdown, or if one of them had done something like that, and you were at the ball game where they were, I'm sure you would have clapped louder than that, and probably even yelled and done some really stupid things. Folks, what they are doing tonight is more important than hitting a grand slam. What they're doing tonight is more important than making a touchdown. What they're doing tonight is more important than anything. I mean, they're in church. They could be a lot of other places, but they're here. I think they deserve a better round of applause than that, don't you? Yeah. There you go. This is for you guys. Thank you. Marvelous. Thank you. Thank you. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Told you last night, if the Lord continues to direct everything that we'll talk about this week, will be something out of the life of David. And when you talk about the life of David, you usually end up talking about Saul, his predecessor, as well. 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 14. Tonight we're going to talk about symptoms treatment. Symptoms treatment. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. Every time I read that, I want to stop and cry. I think that's one of the saddest phrases in all the Bible. And the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. It just makes something come up in the pit of my stomach just to think about it. And the next statement is one of the most curious statements in the Bible to me. I'm going to read it, and I'm not going to say a lot about it now, but later on we're going to talk about it a little bit. And an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Now, I don't know if that bugs you or not, but that statement bugs me. We'll talk about it. Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." Didn't say be better, did it? Just say, feel better. So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone," I like what he said here, "find someone who plays well." Not just anybody. "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man. And then look at the next statement. And the Lord is with him. Man, what a great statement. And the Lord is with him. That's the most important part of it, isn't it? Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much. And David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better. And the evil spirit would leave him. There are few things in life that comfort us more than music. I mean, I am not a singer. I can't play any instrument at all, but I like music. I enjoyed the choir tonight. They came out in the service and they began to sing. And as we sang the congregational songs, that just really thrills me. I enjoy music and it does something for me. Our anxieties, when caressed by the soothing sound of music, often seem far less severe. Most of us have a stack of music somewhere, and we pick out certain music according to the mood we're in, and that helps us in our whatever we're feeling at the time. This therapeutic value of music is really nothing new. David, the youthful king elect, and I'm really sorry that we can't cover all of David's life, because this has already passed the time when Samuel had went to anoint David as the next king. But it was done so in secret, and Saul didn't know about it. Saul didn't know that David had been anointed the next king of Israel to take over when Saul passed off the scene. And it's interesting how God works here, because Saul, not knowing this, reached out to someone to come in and play the harp. And his servant said, hey, I know a young man that plays the harp and plays it well. And so Saul invited David to come in. Now look at the picture here. Do you think if Saul had known that David had been anointed to be his successor, that he would ever have invited him into the palace? Absolutely not. Not without killing him. But look. Here is a shepherd boy, and he's going to be the next king of Israel. He needs some training. He needs to know what it's like to live in the palace. He needs to know what it's like to be the king. So God works it all out and makes it so that David is invited into the palace. Wow! When I think of David, that shepherd boy, moving into the palace, I think of pastoring in West Virginia, and I was invited to serve on, I don't remember now, some council for the governor. And so, in the process of this, I was invited to eat a meal at the governor's mansion one evening. Now, I'm a Kentuckian. I'm a hillbilly. I go into that meal. They had more silverware at my place setting than my mom had in her whole drawer when I was growing up. I looked around at all that and I thought, what in the world? I didn't want to make a fool of myself. I didn't know what. So I watched the person across the table from me. And whenever they picked up something, I'd pick that one up. When they laid it down, I'd lay it down. They picked up something else, I'd pick that up. They lay it down, I'd lay it down. I got through it. Didn't get too many people laughing at me. But can you imagine David, that shepherd boy, walking in the palace, in the throne room for the first time? And God worked it all out. Whew. David, the youthful king elect, beside being a faithful shepherd and a man of valor, was a skillful musician. And it was this skill that brought him face to face with the king. After Samuel anoints David with oil, indicating that God had chosen him as the next king of Israel, we read some disturbing things about Saul. Saul's symptoms. As far as I can tell, Saul is the only leader in the Bible to have a disorder like he had. His sanity was turned upside down. His behavior became erratic, unpredictable. He was given to moments of temporary insanity and madness. He would get violently angry. And even later on in Scripture, it talks about him throwing spears at people. And even one time, the Bible says he tried to pin David to the wall. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Now, can you imagine this guy? Here's the king of Israel, supposed to be cool, calm, and collected. And you go in to see him, and he's sitting there acting all kingly, and all of a sudden, he goes into this rage, and all of a sudden, you don't know whether he's going to kill you or what he's going to do. Well, his servants realize this is serious stuff. I mean, these symptoms are very serious. We need to do something. And they said possibly music might help. So they go into Saul and say, Saul, we noticed you. They didn't put it in these words, but we noticed you kind of went crazy here on us. Do you think it'd be okay if we got a harp player in here to play the harp when you get this way, and maybe you'll feel better? He said, well, as long as you get somebody that plays it well. I take that as if you get a bad harp player, I'll kill him. So they said, well, we know somebody, David, he plays well. And they invited him in to play the harp. You don't have symptoms without a cause. Are you aware of that? I mean, you don't have a pain without there being some cause for that pain. You don't have a runny nose without there being some cause for that runny nose. You don't get sick without there being some cause for getting sick. Those symptoms are just the outgrowth of the cause. Are you getting this? And there was a cause to Saul's symptoms. 1 Samuel 16, again. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. Do you see it? The departure of God's Spirit. It's no wonder Saul went crazy. It's no wonder he could no longer handle being the king of Israel. It's no wonder he could no longer keep a level head. The Spirit of God had departed from him. What a sad statement. What a sad commentary. Although a believer in God, Saul came to know the awful absence caused by the departing of God's Spirit. Now, I know there's some who teach that this can't happen after the day of Pentecost, but they say once you're saved and possess the Spirit of God that He can never depart from you. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Paul understood differently. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said, "No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize." I told my wife a few years ago, I'm going to stop going to ministers' meetings. She said, "Why?" I said, "It seems like every time I go, I hear about another minister, another friend of mine who's fallen from grace." Good people, good men and women of God, at one time had the anointing of God on their life, preached the word with power. Somehow let the Spirit of God escape from their lives and got wound up in some sinful practice and fell. I don't gloat over that. I don't put my thumbs in my suspenders and get proud of the fact that I haven't done that. It breaks my heart. And it makes me take notice, as it did Paul, I must be careful that even after I have preached to others, I might not fall. Now, it doesn't just happen to preachers. When I start talking about this, I start thinking about people. People that I've pastored. People that sat in the pew Sunday after Sunday. People who served on the board. People who taught Sunday school. People who paid their tithe and were committed to the things of God. But somehow they let the Spirit of God slip away from them. And they grew cold and indifferent. And today, they're no longer in church. They're no longer serving the Lord. Folks, if you want to know what tears the heart out of a pastor, that's one of the things that does. That's the reason that pastors get up here and preach the way they do. And that's the reason they do the things that they do. And that's the reason sometimes they call you and say, "I've been missing you in church." Because they've seen the signs before of growing cold and indifferent and lack. And if you follow that procedure, it leads to the departure of God's Spirit. Kind of scary thought, isn't it? It ought to be. It ought to be. Folks, if Paul was concerned about it, we ought to be concerned about it. According to what we've read, God's Spirit can depart from an individual. If you want to meet somebody who's impossible to live with, find a person whom God's Spirit has departed from. If you want to find a negative, mean-spirited, impossible person in the congregation, you find somebody that the Spirit of God has departed from. Not only that, God's Spirit can depart from a congregation. You see, God gave us the Spirit of God. That's a very part of the Trinity. And He is the motivating factor of the church. He is what makes church, church. If you take the Holy Spirit out, what do you got left? A nice group of folks? Oh, they might even still get together and sing a couple of songs, pray a little prayer, have a little sermonette. Go home, feel like they've been to church. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. When we come into this place, we ought to expect the Holy Spirit to be in charge. One place I went to be an interim, they had a bulletin every Sunday. You may have bulletin, I don't know. But the problem with their bulletin was they was tied to it, man. I mean, if you got away from the bulletin, people started waving the bulletin at you like, hey, You're off track. The program don't call for that. After about the third week, I got sick of it. I was preaching one Sunday morning, and I got all carried away, and I ripped that bulletin up, and I wadded it up, and I threw it into the congregation. Short interim. I think God does things in decency and order. It's not wrong to, plan a service. But what if the Holy Spirit right in the middle of that says, hey, how about we do this? Oh, now wait a minute. That's not the way we do it. Now, I'm not talking about doing crazy stuff like falling in the floor and, laughing like hyenas and, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about doing proper things in the Spirit of God. Second Timothy 3, 1 through 6. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know what Paul told Timothy? Have nothing to do with them. Paul could have been writing in the local newspaper today, couldn't he? I mean, they could have been interviewing him, which they wouldn't have, but they could have been interviewing him on CNN. He might have got on Fox, I'm not sure. But look at the wording, folks. Denying the power thereof. Well, I'm going to get to that difficult passage for a little bit. I told you I would. And that's the terror of an evil spirit. Man, I was studying the life of David, and I came to this portion of Scripture. It took me aback, I'm going to tell you. And an evil spirit, and the next part's really what got me, from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of research. And here's what I came up with. You can take it or leave it, okay? I'm going to ask you a question. Could this have been the spirit of conviction? I mean, God's not going to let us just go without some effort to straighten us up. God's not going to let us go without somehow bringing conviction into our lives. Man, when people get under conviction, sometimes they get mean, don't they? And if you've ever been under conviction, it feels like an evil spirit because you start feeling miserable. Now, we don't talk about that much in the life of the church anymore. We don't talk about conviction very much anymore. I remember growing up when people would pray, "Oh, God, convict them of their sins." You know, God still does that. I've had conviction. Not too long ago, I was in prayer. And boy, I'm telling you, God came to me and He said, "I want you to stop doing that." I said, "Well, God, that's not a sin. I mean, that hardly amounts to anything." He said, "I want you to stop doing that." I stopped. Man, it felt good. There's no place in the Bible it said what I was doing was sin. I never even heard a preacher preach on it. But God decided for some reason I did not need that in my life. Now you might still do it. I can't stand up here and preach that you need to stop doing it. Because God didn't talk to you about it evidently. But He sure did me. Now if I had kept doing that, it would have become a sin in my life. And during that time that I was convicted by that. Conviction. When conviction comes, don't get mad at the preacher. He doesn't bring conviction. He just preaches what the Holy Spirit tells him to preach. The Holy Spirit's the one that brings the conviction. The Holy Spirit's the one that starts settling on you and making you feel a little uncomfortable. Now, I know if you don't like it, you can go down the street someplace and find a different preacher. I realize that. Is that going to solve your problem? No. The only thing that solves your problem when this spirit of the Lord, and to Paul it seemed like, or to Saul it seemed like an evil spirit, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, the only thing that will resolve it is get your life in line with God. Symptoms, treatment. You know, one writer said music soothes the savage beast. When Saul's strange problem became apparent to his servants, they proposed locating a skillful musician, a harpist, who would play the harp and soothe Saul. At this point, David was by occupation still a shepherd. Yet God used his musical talent to move him physically closer to the palace. We ought to know a little about symptoms treatment after this pandemic. Probably every one of us, some of you may have had COVID. Some of you may have known somebody that had it. But they kept talking about the symptoms. Watch for the symptoms. If you have these symptoms, go get checked. If you have these symptoms, stay at home. If you have these symptoms, don't come in here. And we all know the symptoms, don't we? And they said they ranged in different ways, but you know, you could have a fever, you could have a headache, you could have a runny nose, and on and on and on. And I was in line at Walmart, had my mask on, and some lady in front of me had some kind of perfume on that was just about to kill me, and I started sneezing. And I felt like that they were going to shoot me and drag me out because they thought I had COVID. Symptoms. But there was no cure for it, was there? I mean, they could give you some medicine to help with the symptoms. But basically, it just had to run its course. Some people, it didn't affect very much at all. Some people got really sick. And sadly, some people died. My wife has an autoimmune disease. The symptoms to that are some days she's so weak she can't get out of bed. She has excruciating pain. There's just a lot of symptoms to it. Causes bowel irritation. I mean, you can just go on and on and on with the symptoms. And there's no cure. They can give her some medication that deals with the symptoms. Doesn't deal with it very well, but it deals with the symptoms. You know what symptoms are, don't you? And every symptom you have has a cause. And one of the saddest things is to go to the doctor and you tell him all of your symptoms and he says, let me give you something that will help the symptoms. But I can't help the cause. I can't make you better. I can make you feel better, but I can't make you better. I have a generic heart disease, and I have various symptoms that go along with that, most of them heart-related symptoms. And they give me medication that deals with the symptoms, but there's absolutely no cure for this heart disease. So here I live with this disease, which there's no cure to. And I deal with the symptoms. A lot of Christians have symptoms. And they've learned how to deal with the symptoms. This might help the symptoms a little bit. That might help the symptoms a little bit. I might be able to do this. I might be able to do that, but folks, I'm going to tell you something. The only real symptoms treatment is to deal with the cause of the symptoms. The cause of Saul's symptoms was the departure of God's Spirit. If you are having spiritual symptoms, there's a reason for that. Don't just treat the symptoms. See, you can even go to the altar and just going to the altar can make you feel a little better. We used to use the term praying through. We still need to do that. I love music, and sometimes just coming to church and singing and just being there makes me feel better. But we need to get to the root of the problem, folks. We need to come clean before God. Are you having symptoms? What have you been doing about it? Would you tonight just do this one thing? Ask the Holy Spirit, what's the cause of my symptoms? Why don't I get excited about going to church anymore like I used to? Why don't I read my Bible like I should? Why don't the things of God thrill me anymore? And you can add whatever symptoms you want in there. Father, thank you tonight for these wonderful folks who have sat here, and I hope they've not just listened to me, I hope they've listened to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I in no way, shape, or form would try to say that this congregation is not living according to your will, or the people of this congregation are not living according to your will. But Lord, I know how the devil works. And we could be on fire for you tonight and next month. We could have grown cold and indifferent. God, help each of us tonight just to take an inventory and just ask ourselves, do I have some spiritual symptoms tonight that I need to deal with? Holy Spirit, what's causing these symptoms? And then help us to seek the help of God and the Holy Spirit in dealing not just with the symptoms, but dealing with the cause. Lord, the real answer is always, first of all, to be a Christian. Second of all, to be totally committed to you and filled with the Spirit of God and live according to your will. If there's anybody here tonight that needs to pray, give them the urgency in their heart and the strength to come forward. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand, please?